From the good life in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the Stop Chasing, Start Living show, where together we dig into the world of faith and finances to discover how God wants so much more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm your host, Scott Ernstmeyer, so let's start living. Well, I'd like to welcome everybody back to the Stop Chasing, Start Living show. My name is Scott Ernstmeyer. Super excited to jump into today's episode. Very thankful to get to serve as your host here on this show. And last time, if you were with us, had a chance to dig in with Bob and Deanne Winger about the privilege of giving. And one of the things we left our listeners with as we closed out that show was just a reminder that in order for God to really speak and encourage us in our hearts, we got to find a space to listen and get into His Word and make sure we're available to what He's sharing. Because as they talked about it, it's pretty obvious to see opportunities where you can jump in and be a part of that privilege of giving in our lives. But you got to be available to hear God's voice through that. So a reminder, the show, it's all about faith and finances, but I just love the fact that we get a chance to talk about life and the many things that tug at us in life and how we navigate that together. And today, our topic, I'm super excited because I think it's a topic within the church rhythms that may be a term in the tithe that gets used in a lot of different ways and can almost maybe even be confusing. And so as we get into this topic today, I'm really excited to kind of slice that apart and discover what that means together. Today, my guest is my first second time visitor to the show, and Pastor Dustin Lappy. He's one of our associate pastors. A little bit about our background together. We were actually students at Concordia at the same time. Now, before putting on the mantle of pastor, you took on the challenge of education, and you were education to the littles. So I don't know if I really remember having a class with you because I was secondary ed, and you were kind of down there as about as young as you can go. But certainly had a chance to be fed in the same way going through college. And then kind of full circle for you now because you get a chance to serve as an associate professor up there at Seward. And then you also do some other teaching internationally that a lot of people don't even know about that you've been kind of leaning into and sharing your heart and your expertise with some people that are in ministry, not just kind of real close to home, but from afar. So I'll kick it to you, Dustin, to kind of reintroduce yourself a little bit to the listeners and maybe even speak a little bit to your teaching heart.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I did not know I was the first of the second returning
guest. Two-timers, yeah.
Two-timers, so that's good. No, it's good to be back. And yeah, you had mentioned that what we're talking about today is the tithe, and it is something I believe can be a little bit... you know, we hear it talked about, but what does that mean? That is kind of the Lutheran question. And so I'm fortunate that, you know, as you shared part of my story, that I have those Lutheran roots that go way back to elementary school and even high school, and then for us together on to Concordia. Mm-hmm. And then really felt God calling me into the path of, I know I want to do something within church work. Mm-hmm. And as someone who was very quiet and shy growing up, the thought of having to give a sermon, right, was very scary to me. And so, but I'm like, man, the littles, like,
I can do that.
And so, yeah, teaching in elementary and early childhood and art. And so that was our first call to Juneau, Alaska. But God used that as an opportunity and love teaching. And that continues to just be a part of who I am and trying to use that in different ways, even within the pastoral ministry.
Yeah.
And now, as you mentioned, having the opportunity, so many of the ministries where we served was church and school. Mm-hmm. And so that's always been there. And then now here recently, teaching as an adjunct back at Concordia, our alma mater, and that's been exciting in Old and New Testament. And then also through Concordia Theological Seminary in Haiti, which...
Wow.
I don't know how much we really talk about that within our church body.
Right.
That we have that. And so been blessed to be able to do that as well. And
that's
so
awesome.
Yeah. And so part of my ministry here at Messiah is associate pastor, but really focusing on discipleship. And what we're talking about today, I see as part of that life of a disciple.
Amen. Amen. So as we get into this topic of tithing, I think it is always good to kind of reset our own stories. I was sharing with you right before we jumped on air that, you know, for me and in my house growing up, we did the 80-10-10 process. So if you got a dollar, literally when I was young, it was a dollar per week in allowance. 80 cents went into your save or your save. No, 80% went into your spend.
Right.
10% went into your save. Yep. And the first 10 actually went into your give. And you know, the word tithe is actually, it means 10%. So it was, that's an easy reference point. And it's what my parents used for us just to teach us that rhythm. But you might talk a little bit about maybe what you learned growing up in that space around the kind of just the concept of the tithe.
Yeah. I also grew up with the tithe, but didn't really know, you know, what did that mean? And you hear it talked about in the Bible in the Old Testament specifically. But I guess how it became introduced then to me is beyond just the 10%, it's also the first fruits and the idea of giving God the first. And to me, you know, the topic of the tithe, this is part of like, I think even some of the debate, I don't fully debate, but among Christians of like, so what happens when we go into the New Testament? Like what happens to the tithe?
Right.
And I think that's part of what we're going to talk about today as well too. But for me, it's always been attached to the heart and realizing that whether we talk about the tithe, the generosity or giving, however you want to phrase that, it's that acknowledgement first and foremost that all that we have comes from God. And the pattern that we see really from the very beginning too is that we're meant to give back to God, to entrust it into him, to his care, and to look at it, it's not just God providing for us and us providing for our families, but how are we able to be a community together and to care for others? And whether it's those serving in ministry or whether it's caring for the least of these, the poor, the widows, the orphans, and so all of that plays into right. it. But realizing, again, stepping back into that everything comes from God and that we're just stewards
right.
of that. That's part of the beginning too. And so I really see the tithe, the generosity, the offering, all of this. It's an act of worship. And it's an act of being stewards under God's care.
That's awesome. Well, and as we think about kind of the history of that word tithe or the concept of the tithe, you know, you already referenced the fact that that is very much so part of the rhythms of the Old Testament. But as we were preparing for the show, you kind of even mentioned the idea of giving back to God comes into the Bible very, very early on in the story of creation and just right afterwards. And so kind of speak to a little bit about where you see that concept starting in the Old Testament and then how that was leveraged by the culture and society back then.
Yeah, so I think part of what we look at to the tithe, we often will look at some of the law, what we talk about the law of Moses coming out of the Torah, and really the teaching that God was doing, the formation at Mount Sinai. Mm-hmm. You know, they were there for that year's time. The Ten Commandments is a part of that, but there's a lot of instruction that is giving.
Right.
You have the what we know as the book of Leviticus being put together, and there, like in chapter 27, it talks about the tithing. But even before that, I thought it was interesting that you go to, for example, to like Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, and following, you have Abraham and Melchizedek, and Melchizedek fulfilling this role of priest and king, and Abraham is really depicted as giving him a tithe. So I found that interesting. In Genesis 28, verses 20 to 22, you have the story of Jacob, and this is Jacob then vowing to give God a tithe, like, God, if you're going to protect me, if you're blessing me, I'm going to give back to you. And he uses the tithe, the 10%. But then even going back further than that, so we have creation, we have the fall, and the very first story we have is Cain and Abel. And we typically, Cain and Abel, we focus on, you know, we have one brother taking the life of another brother. But what's kind of underneath all of that, they're both bringing these gifts, these offerings to God. And it doesn't use the word tithe.
Right.
But in trying to figure out, well, why is one accepted and one not? It seems to be it's a matter of the heart. That's what God was looking
for sure
at. And so I just find it interesting that even as the scripture you know, is put before us, this idea of giving to God and all things coming from God and being good stewards of that, and even the tithe and the 10%, it's really all over.
It all flows out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and you think about the people coming out of Egypt and God really kind of establishing this new relationship with the people. And it requires a lot of like structure. He's like, all right, these people don't really know what they're doing. I got to give them some rules and regulations and to create like this new kind of life together, so to speak. And it really ends up including things like a tithe. And then really, as you see a little bit later on, because their culture was so agricultural at the mm-hmm. time, a lot of the tithe is tied back to those rhythms that they would have had on an annual basis with the production of crops or the next, you know, fruit of their animals, you know, yeah. those kinds of things. So kind of speak a little bit to how that relationship worked kind of in the Old Testament with this idea of, in some ways, a lot of that ended up providing for the work of the church back then.
Yeah. So I think, as you mentioned, it was, when you look at the tithe, that was often tied to the agriculture, the grains, the offerings that were brought, or the livestock, but that was all a source of income mm-hmm. for them. And it's what they lived off. That's how they provided. And then you had the 12 tribes, and they settle into their areas that God sets aside in the promised land. But then you have the Levites. They're not given land. Mm-hmm. They're called upon to serve in the role of priests. But then part of the tithe is to help provide for that. And so already it's, even before we have the church being established, we have God's people and we have worship and we have the priests and all of these things, eventually the tabernacle and then the temple. But here God is providing a way to care for those that are serving in this way. And that continues today with the gifts that we have coming in to the church.
Sure.
Like that hasn't gone away. God uses that to care for those pastors and others that are called to be a part of that. But then it also goes beyond that. It was meant to also then care for the orphans and the poor, the widows, those who couldn't provide. And so God had set these things into place. And where I see part of the transition from the Old Testament into the New Testament is the Old Testament, there's very specific commands and laws that are given, and the right. people need mm-hmm. that. Then you have Jesus coming, and in his own words, he comes to fulfill, not do away with, but to fulfill it. And mm-hmm. so you have the old covenant becoming a new covenant. And I guess how I look at that and how I like to talk about this a lot of times through the lens of grace mm. is that what was maybe once thought of as being something we have to do, now we mm. get to mm-hmm. do this. And I guess that's how I, in my own life and home too, look at even the tithe. Mm-hmm. To me, it's been a good place to start, but not get caught up on the number,
right?
But to remember the first fruits and the best and the giving back to God. And there are passages too, and wanted to share a couple of these in the New Testament too that I think start to help us see where Paul talks about how, you know, well, let me just go to the verse, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even. So one of these, looking in Corinthians here. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's an encouragement to give generously. This is verse 12. For if the readiness is there, if it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. And so in other words, what Paul is addressing here is that we're not called upon to give outside of our means. Mm-hmm. You know, we're called to give within that means, but then to know, and this is, you know, right after that is where we have that verse that I think is probably, this is what many think about is, each must give, right? This is the very next chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. So this is bringing us back to the heart again.
Yeah.
Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And again, so to me, that's, it's not like, oh, I have to do this. But no, I get
yes.
to do this. And so I think what hasn't gone away, even into the New Testament today, is we're still called upon to provide for those who are serving in ministry, and there are ways that that happens, and to give to those, be it in our communities or throughout the world, through our missions and outreach and different things mm-hmm. too. But to realize in all of that, that what we have, it comes from God. Mm. And so how are we being a steward right. to that?
The choices that we have, we get a chance to make because God has provided it to us and says, take care of it. And
yeah.
we get a chance to figure out how to navigate that, hopefully with his direction and talking to him regularly. There's just this neat opportunity to then make decisions around that. It's, you know, part of our living out is free will and what we have in our lives. And you said a couple things just a minute ago, and I really appreciate the fact that you dug into the 2 Corinthians passage. So chapter 8 and chapter 9 for our listeners, if you really want to get into really the heart of what the New Testament really speaks to about giving, it's in those two chapters. There's so many different concepts and philosophies and really encouragements in there in terms of the point of being cheerful and what you've decided in your heart and within your means. Those things are all there, and really reading through and praying through those two chapters would put somebody on a really good course in their giving.
Yeah.
And you mentioned something about the idea of first fruits or giving first back to God. And I think for me, there's such a neat lesson in all this is that I think one of the challenges, especially if you're a first-time new giver within the church, it's an order of operations issue. You know, so many of us, when our budgets are built in our homes, it's like, well, I've got a mortgage and I've got taxes and I've got whatever those other expenses are just to get through life. And those tend to feel like they end up coming first in how we think about building a family budget. And how you mentioned that just a moment ago, it was it as Christians, we really want to get to this place to really pray through and talk to God. All right, God, from what you've provided me, not an outlandish number that I can't attain, but within what you've provided me in our family, what do we feel called that should be our number that we want to give back to the church? And you start there.
Yep.
And then you build your budget around that number. Because the reality is, you know, the 10% is a number. It's a reference point. The word tithe literally means 10%. Mm-hmm. If you really go back and study the Old Testament, there were multiple tithes that the people were asked to give. And this kind of gets at the concept that for those that have been given more, you can actually start accessing more of God's resources to give away. So for that person that has maybe a limited income, 10% is a pretty tough number. Back in the Old Testament, if they tithed on multiple things, it might have been 20, 30, 40% right. that they were giving back then. Well, if I'm a person that has a pretty high income and I'm not spending lavishly, now all of a sudden I've got this discretionary income that becomes easier to make choices around how am I going to use that. And so 10% maybe really doesn't feel like enough. And then you can open up to 15 or 20 and all of a sudden that's the space you're feeling called into as that family to be able to do so much more than a predefined 10% tithe term could actually almost put you in a box and not get to a space that God might be calling you to.
Right. With that in mind, I wanted to share, I got my study Bible here with me. And so when I was going back and looking at some of this, one of the notes in here, so this is back on Leviticus, but it's mm-hmm. also speaking towards what this means for us mm-hmm. today. And I think it connects to what you're talking about. So this is at the very end of Leviticus. And if for our listeners, for anyone who's like, this year, I'm going to read through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And this has been true for me. It's like you get into Genesis and I'm like, all right, this is
good stories.
Great.
Good
this
stories.
Is awesome. Yep. And then even into Exodus, it just continues. But then you get to Leviticus and it just kind of breaks apart. But I've grown in my appreciation for Leviticus and teaching through the Old Testament. And because behind all of these laws it's grace mm-hmm. and God making a way for the people to be back into relationship with him. But the very last chapter, it's dealing with the tithe. It's talking about the firstborn of the animals and how the firstborn belongs to God. And then it's talking about the tithe of the land. It's the Lord's, it's holy. But here's the footnote. It says, Leviticus concludes by showing how all of God's people are involved in the stewardship of God's house. Based on how God has blessed them, each Israelite provides materials and finances for the maintenance of God's sanctuary, for the ongoing operation of the divine service. The collection of our offerings during the liturgy serves, so it's talking about today, parallel to this purpose. And we can think about even in Acts in the early church, mm-hmm. how we see these
things
being
lived out.
Sold all
that they had and used it in common for ministry.
Yeah. And it, you know, it says there weren't needs among the people because when they saw a need, they're like, what can we do? It's mm-hmm. very much that was that community of believers. It goes on to say, our offerings are part of the holy work of God's people for the benefit of the world. Mm-hmm. Through our offerings, we bear witness to what God has done through Calvary's cross. Mm-hmm. And so I think of the passages I talk about, we love because God first loved us. I guess I've come to a place in my life where we need to treat generosity the same mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm called to be generous because God was first generous to me.
Amen.
And when I teach on the Old Testament, I always say everything connects back to the beginning. And so you think about creation and you think about how God places humanity, Adam and Eve, to be the stewards and what that means and then how everything kind of follows that. And this idea of the tithe and generosity, and this is why I so appreciate, you know, Scott, your willingness to have these podcasts and these discussions and everything too, because I think we can err on it in the church one of two ways, where we can make it something very legalistic.
For sure. Like, and a lot of churches have done that over the years.
Like, you have to, mm-hmm. right, give this X amount and everything, and it's check the box. But then on the other side, I think we err on we don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so we got to find that middle ground right. of that, of understanding, again, not a have to, but a get to, through Jesus' fulfillment of all of these things, out of that grace that God gives. But it is something that's important for us in our lives, in our world. And that's what I appreciate about that, you know, the footnote there at the end of Leviticus in the study Bible. This is about the ongoing ministry that God has called us to.
Well, and I think, to me, it's like if I'm new to giving, or maybe I'm even new to the church and really don't know what it looks like to be a part of a church and what it means to join others in that mission together. I think that what you just shared serves as a really good reminder. You use the phrase the stewardship of God's house. Mm-hmm. You know, we are stewarding God's creation, each individually, all that we get to touch and be a part of as God's creation. But then you think about God's house, church, big church, and then individual churches all over the world. And if I'm feeling tugged through the relationship with God and the Holy Spirit to, like, I want to be a part of this faith community, do life together with these people. Part of that process, God pulls us into this cool new opportunity to be a part of funding what's going on there. Not only it's easy to get drawn to very specific things. Like, I want to be able to see my money go to the poor. I want to be able to see my money work on this project or that project, or whatever, God's money, if you're thinking about it correctly. But the reality is some people maybe struggle with, we got to keep the lights on. We got to make sure the buildings are in good repair. And ultimately, you have, in our case here at Messiah, I don't know the number, I should know it off the top of my head, probably more than 30 people that have committed a full-time investment of their career into serving not only the people of this church, but to do ministry even beyond these walls. And we want to take care of those people. And so, like, that opportunity we have as a part of a faith family is to say, I want to share in that work. Now, God, what are you calling and asking of me in that process? What have you provided me that I should turn around and make sure that work can get done? And I think sometimes in that legalistic have to, it can feel like it's a have to, but ultimately it's like God inviting us into that work saying, hey, there's stuff happening here. We're sharing Christ with the world. How can you be a part of it?
Yep. I can't remember if I talked about this on the last podcast. I kind of feel like maybe I did.
You do a lot of teaching, so you never know where.
But when I work with couples getting ready to get married, I talk about with them the importance of oneness. Again, back to Genesis. Mm-hmm. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife. The two will join, two becoming one. Mm-hmm. That oneness, yes, it was physical, but it was so much more than that too.
Right.
Emotional, the relational. But I also talk about with couples, finances mm-hmm. is a part of that oneness too. And so when we talk about being a family together, being a part of the church together, Jesus' prayer, the high priestly prayer, God, may they be one, united as we're, mm-hmm. United in one. Well, that's physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, financially,
right,
too. It's part of what it means to be family together. Mm-hmm. It's part of what it means to be a part of the body together. And it is part of, it's part of worship.
Yes.
It's part of our life of worship. And it's part of even our worship when we come together as well. And I think we've really tried to lean into that more this past year at Messiah mm-hmm. of being intentional around our teaching, but that we're going to celebrate what God is doing
Amen.
Through these things.
So. Yeah. And I think too, as we think about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament and the teachings and very much framed in law, framed in, this is what, God's people were asked to do. And there were a lot of rhythms associated with that, seasons of the church year, all those kinds of things. When you jump into the New Testament, specifically around the tithe, it's not really mentioned much. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's really more mentioned through the context of making it ritualistic as opposed to it being about the heart.
Yep.
And I think that, you've kind of already teed up the whole idea that it has to start with the heart and kind of talk about why you think maybe there's such a struggle. I almost think about some people need rules. They need just tell me what I'm supposed to do, which is why probably the 10% definition of a tithe has been a sense of peace for some people. Cause it's okay, you got the 10%. I know what that number is. Yeah. Now it can either start there or get there, but that's my target. And that's not really what God wants for us, especially as it's reflected in the New Testament. And it's talking about, working through to determine in our hearts what we should give based on what he has provided. Cause everybody gets provided something different. We don't all have the same bank accounts. We don't all have the same other resources in life and stuff that God is giving us. It's really meant to be a very personal, intimate process that God can work through. Maybe talk a little bit about why that can be so much more powerful than just a simple number.
Yeah, I think it's true of just all of humanity, but there is something about in our culture. And so, I've talked about this more when I'm teaching on the Old and New Testament, having a Western mindset
for sure
versus an Eastern mindset and just growing in my understanding of that too. And so coming to realize with our Western mindset, we want things to be very specific.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And with numbers, for example, okay, 10 means 10.
Yep.
I get that, right? Well, when you look from an Eastern mindset, yeah, 10 means 10, but there's more to it than that. Numbers have, right, it more meaning and depth
right.
to that, to the symbolism to right. that. I think something we understand in the church, 7, right? So 7 connected to creation and completeness and all of that. So my point in sharing that is I think we have to understand in our culture where we're coming from things. And so we do want things to just tell me no, give me a number, right? Okay, I can grasp that. And there's nothing wrong with that, but if we're making it about the number, is the heart really attached
right.
to that? And that's why I share that passage from Corinthians 2. It's, we're not being called upon to give outside of our means. Mm-hmm. We all have to understand within our home, but this is the part then, more than the 10%, it's the first. Mm-hmm. It's the first. And so I appreciated you when you shared that, that's what we should start with before we look at anything else within the budget.
Mm-hmm.
What does God get first?
Yep.
And then, okay, now let's figure out these other things. I know it's not communicated specifically, and I don't want to read into it with Cain and Abel, but I've kind of always felt like that's maybe what was underlying it
yep.
is, you have one of the brothers saying, like, I just know God gets the first.
Yeah, he gets my best.
He gets my best. And the other brother coming at it like, I know I'm supposed to do this, so I'm going to give, but the heart's not really in it then too.
Yeah, 100%. And I, you know, I'm sitting here struck just as I think I had a conversation this week with a couple people that kind of talked about as they got to the point where their kids got to be adults and kind of launched onto their own, whatever else. And then they started seeing a little bit more accessible resources in their home, which those of us that are at the stage of life that we're at, we kind of get that, you know, kids are expensive and there's a lot of more money. Yeah. It seems like a lot more money going out than coming in. But they just talked about that once some of those needs went away, all of a sudden there was a recognition of what they really had because they weren't chasing. And then really an opportunity to see God's blessing in their life. And maybe the joy of giving started taking hold for them a little bit more because it was like, hey, we can give this away. And they didn't really miss it, didn't see it. And I, you know, I'm kind of struck by those rhythms and seasons of life where, you know, some people can really get down on themselves where they feel like, well, we're just not giving as much as we'd like to. Or, hey, that's a different time in life. When I get there, I'll be able to do X. And there's a dance in there somewhere that I think God is inviting us into because the whole, I just don't know that I can do as much as I'd like. That means God's tugging at us. Like maybe we should be doing more, not in a law way, but like come on this journey with me if we let it kind of be that way. But in order to get there, it requires us to think first with what should be God's as opposed to finding a way to fit it in at the end. And I think that there's an opportunity in that kind of almost internal debate to get tugged to where God wants us to be in this idea of come talk to me about this. And then a trust component to it that when you maybe start stepping out in a place of discomfort from the standpoint of your checkbook or whatever else, you just hear story after story about how God worked in and through those situations and really, truly blessed it.
So where my mind's going with some of this too, and I have to be careful here because sometimes you start to speak out loud before putting a lot of thought behind things.
I understand.
But I'm thinking in terms of like the past, the present, and the future. And I think, again, kind of in our Western way of thinking about things is we're focused so much on the future and with money, like thinking about the future, putting things away for the future, providing for the future and all of those things. And I believe that's well and good, right? But I think sometimes we do so with then not really focusing on what's going on in the present right now. And what's kind of behind why I'm saying this is what came to mind is, again, being able to be over in the Holy Land and to experience and see, like, for example, when I hear Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, like I have like these lush green pastures in mind, this idea, but to go over there and see like their green pastures, like it was just these little tufts of green grass within the rocks. Mm-hmm. And the reminder of how what they were really focusing on so much of was God providing just enough for today. And then the next day, trusting that God is going to provide for today. I think in our culture, we've lost some of that. Think about the excessiveness and the setting away and planning and building our storehouses and all of that. But we're missing the opportunity of what God is doing in the moment. Mm-hmm. Of it. So I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. And it's, you know, I've often, you know, referred to the fact that every dollar that you receive, you can spend it once and then it's gone. Now, if you invest it, it can grow and it can almost feel like you're spending it multiple times. But when you truly spend it, it's done and gone. And I think that's probably that cultural internal battle that we have today. When you talk about what's happening today and being present in the today, too often we say yes to so many things around us in terms of the resources we have and just spend. And then the opportunity comes along to help the widow and the poor, or you're invited into supporting XYZ, whatever that is, could be at the church, could be in the community, whatever it is. And all of a sudden it's like, well, that dollar I could have maybe used that for, it's gone, or I've already spoken for it in kind of a desire that I have or whatever else. And so, you know, when you think about just the simple topic of stewardship, that's the journey we're on as Christians, is like, we get a chance to make those choices. And are we thinking about it and looking at it through God's lens and his eyes, or with our Western culture where we're just chasing stuff everywhere, you know? And that's a tough place for us, I think, to be in, because the selfish part of who we are will take over on that every time.
Yeah. I've been honest in other places too. And I think maybe this came out in the video that we had, that series of videos on kind of our journey with giving and generosity. Trudy and I, my wife and I, we've tried to do a better job of talking about this with our children, being, you know, more transparent, mm-hmm. Letting them in on, because there's things like we learn the hard way. And if we go back and do things different, right, again too, right. Because it's at this stage in life, I think part of the tension we were feeling is that because some of the choices we made in different things, we weren't able to be as generous as we wanted to. And so, you know, with debt or whatever it might be, it's felt like it was keeping us from that. And so trying to help teach these things, and that's where I'm going with this, is when Deuteronomy, for example, talks about parents teach these things,
right,
about what it means to love God and to love others. I feel like generosity, this needs to be a part of that too, along with a lot of other things. Why? Because God was first generous with us. And so all of that to say, I'm glad that you're having these opportunities for us to lean into these things a little bit more too. And these are teaching and learning opportunities.
Well, and when you dig fully into it, like it's an amazingly joy-filled topic when we let it be. And, you know, some people have the gift of giving. You know, my wife, Sarah, one of her love languages is giving gifts. But I do think, you know, so she's kind of, I think, hardwired that way, but I do think it was modeled to her growing up as well. And so when you think about having a generous heart, kids are smart. They pick up on stuff. And when they see stuff like that, then they see behaviors that they want to emulate some point in life. And so the opportunity for us to teach things to our kids like that, man, if there's a better thing to be able to teach your kid than to have a generous heart with their time and their gifts and talents and treasures, I'm not sure there is much better than that in terms of what you could pass along to the next generation. Well, we're kind of bumping up against time, so I'd kind of like to land the plane here. So when I was really thinking about this theme today and the tithe, where I really wanted to get home on is, and maybe you could speak into this just as a practical matter. As you think about someone learning a good rhythm around generosity and the simple principles that we talked about today, how would you boil it down for somebody as they're really maybe trying to, maybe a newly married couple, and they're trying to establish just a really healthy philosophy about generosity? How are we going to do this? What is it going to look like for us as a couple in our home? Based on how we feel like it's being taught in the New Testament, what would you say are just the simple ways to frame what it looks like to give back to God?
Yeah, I wrote down a couple notes here, and I think it speaks into it. So one of the things I wrote down is tithing is viewed as an acknowledgement that all things come from God and a way to return a portion to him. And then second, tithing is presented as a way, and I chose this word, to cultivate. Mm. So you think about, you know, the tithe in the Old Testament, a lot of it was tied to the agriculture. Yeah. We're living in Nebraska. We understand that. But to cultivate a generous spirit or heart within us too. And so prayer, I think, is one of the best places to start. And inviting God, asking God, like, help me through the Holy Spirit to know, to have that heart that truly understands that what I have is, Lord, it's from you. And then to start there with the first, okay, what is that? And don't get caught up on the number or the percentage of it, but within what we have, within the budget and all of these things, what can we set aside for God first? And then trusting that God's going to help the other things work out. Because Trudy and I have, from day one, that's just, even when we didn't have much at all, mm-hmm. We've always made that a priority for us to start with that. And God is, he's blessed that in so many ways, like can't even think about that. And I don't mean like blessing upon blessing. I mean like providing for us
right
today
mm-hmm.
and then trusting he's going to provide for us tomorrow. Not sure how it's going to happen, but he does.
That's awesome.
And he's been faithful to that. And so that's where I think it has to start to you. And then to look at it from that place of, we've already talked about this, but this isn't something I have to do. Like, no, this is New Testament. This is Jesus fulfilled this already. This is what I get
right.
to do. And I'll just say, just from my own personal experience, you know, as a pastor at times going in and I'm there to care for someone, but I find that I feel like I'm being blessed more through that opportunity. I've seen that happen too with giving and generosity of how the joy that just comes from that, to be a part of what God is doing. We get to be a part of his work and his kingdom and making an investment in that. So it goes beyond just our daily home and income and budget. We're a part of something so much more.
Amen. Yeah. And the only thing I think I'd bring home to close that loop of everything you just described is remaining available to see where God shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Like asking God, keep showing me where you show up, because I think when we look for it, you see it.
Yeah.
And too often, I think sometimes we kind of want to make a gift and then it's like we kind of go about stuff and whatever else. When you just step back and you let God speak, you see where he shows up, and that's where that blessing comes through, and you start realizing just how much he does provide.
Yep.
That's so awesome. Well, really appreciate you joining us today. I'm going to pray us out and then we'll send people on their way. Heavenly Father, the chance to dig in a little bit today and think about what you're doing in our hearts, the challenge that, you know, that you would leave with us today as we wind down is Lord, that we can be in that regular conversation with you, that when we don't know where to start, that we actually just start by talking to you, Lord, and that we would be open and available to what you might be placing on our heart, where we can see how we can come alongside with what you've already provided and be about ministry through those financial resources, Lord, and ultimately that you would continue to impress upon us and let us see where your work and what the fruit of those gifts are and how you continue to work in and through not only what those gifts do, but back into our hearts, just with that joy that we get to have to be a part of that process. Lord, we just thank you in advance of how you're going to work in the lives of people through your spirit. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today and for giving us a little enlightenment on this topic.
Yeah, thank you, Scott.
All right. So until next time, I'm going to challenge you to all start living.
Thank you for tuning in to Stop Chasing, Start Living. This has been a production of Messiah Lutheran Ministries. Make sure you subscribe to Messiah Lutheran on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about Messiah Ministries? Visit us at messiah.us. Our goal is to be a resource to you as you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your generosity. If you would like to connect with Scott, please send an email to scott.ernstmeyer@messiah.us. Thanks again for listening. Now let's start living.